starting another work. We're not starting. We've been dealing with it probably the past 2 years. And what my wife is saying about snatching people out of the fire. When we first started the church, my brother has a vending company, and one of the men that were working for him was in the hospital, and I went and visited him. And they diagnosed him with cancer. And so I prayed the prayer of faith with him. When you know you're in such a dire need, you know, you will, I guess you would say anything. And after I prayed with him, I didn't really know, hey, only God knows his heart, whether he really, really accepted the Lord or not. And after he got out of the hospital, he started attending the church, this new work that we are dealing with. And for about 6 weeks, and his cancer got worse, we prayed for him. And the last Sunday that he came, it wasn't Sunday, it was Saturday. It was right when service was started. I was standing about right here. And we're like in a storefront where the front doors, those doors right there, is actually outside. And he opened the door and I saw him. And I could see that he was at his end. And as he was walking in, I was walking towards him. And when I met him, he looked at me, he says, "When I see you," he says, "it's as if I'm looking at an angel." And I knew what he was talking about. I knew he was at his end. And that week he passed away. And I realized that if we wasn't there, see, we snatched him out of the fire, you see. And how many more people are out there that's like that? We have to snatch him out of the fire. This man lived a life, ungodly life, until he met God through us. And this is how important it is for us to be the people we really need to be. We're snatching people out of eternity in hell. This is not, it's not something to play with. It's not something to put in the back of your mind. We've got family. Listen, we still have family members. Thank God we got a lot of them in the kingdom, but we still got a lot of them that's not. And believe me, we need to deal with them. We need to pray for them. We need to reach out to them. God has saved us for a purpose. The church is here for a purpose, and that is to snatch people out of fire. Because the fire is everlasting. It's for eternity. So praise the Lord. Well, we had a great time Friday night and two sessions yesterday. Every time I come, I struggle, I guess, every time somebody asks me to go and minister at their church. I don't look at it as the pastor is asking me to come. I look at it as God must want me to say something. And that is always the struggle. I've been preaching for 36 years now. I can preach sermons, but it ain't just a matter of preaching sermons. It's a matter of saying what God wants to say at that particular time. Because you can hear a lot of messages, and they might sound good, and they can be delivered well, and they can have all that going with them. But is it what God wants to say at this particular time? So I'm trusting God that what I'm going to say is what he wants me to say today. I want to bring you a message I entitled Understanding the Times. And, you know, as we look in history, if you read history in any stage of the game, any century would have you, that if you find successful people in there, and that's why they're usually in history books, is because they've done something that was significant, they were successful in something that they've done or created or what have you, and it's because they understood the time in which they were living. See, they had an understanding of what needed to be done or what needed to be created, and they understood the times, and it was able to either make a good decision about something because they understood their particular time. But we know that times keep changing. The times we're living in now is quite different. I remember when I was a young man, my mother at the time, she would tell me that she lived through the Great Depression. She lived through World War II and all the wars after that. And she would say, I never thought I'd live to see the day that I'd see things happening like I'm seeing happening. And what she was really talking about, she was really talking about morality. She says, I never thought I'd see the day when people would be doing the things that they're doing. And my mother was not a Christian at the time, but she could see the decay in morality out there, the things that people are doing. And each generation, I believe, must understand its time and be able to make good decisions. Our children, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I got mine out the way, but now I'm looking at grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and looking at what they have to face in this world today. And if we don't understand the times in which they're looking at, that we're not going to help them. The world is not getting better. It won't get better. How many know that? It won't get better. Those who believe in evolution, they think mankind is getting better because of all the knowledge they're acquiring and the technology and everything. Oh, man must be progressing. No, he's not progressing. The Bible says they'll ever be learning, but never ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. See, with all their knowledge, they still don't know where they're at. They still don't understand the time in which they're living in. Yes, we're shooting people out in space. We're creating all kinds of things. We've got phones. We got all this stuff that's happening, but man himself is not progressing. And because to understand the times in which you're living in, you've got to understand what truth is. And truth is a person. His name's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And unless they come to that, they will never figure out what their life is about, what they're looking at in the world, what their environment's all about. You will never understand what you're living in until you come to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and your eyes are open to where you can see exactly what's going on. I want to go to the Old Testament, to one of the 12 tribes of Israel that was noted. One of the tribes of Israel was noted that they were men who understood the times. Out of 12 tribes, one of them was a tribe that understood the times. And in 1 Chronicles 12, it says, the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs and all their relatives under their command. In other words, their whole clan, they all knew exactly what was going on in their time. And the tribe of Issachar were people of intellect. They understood what was happening in their nation. And I believe the only people that really understand what's happening in our nation today are believers. We can look at our nation and we can understand what's going on in the political realm and economic realm. We're the only people that can really understand what's really going down. But this scripture I just read is a passage of scripture that took place when Israel just came out of a war. They just came out of a war with the Philistines. This war, they lost. It was a war they went in and they lost it. How many know that God's people are not to be losing? God doesn't have his people to lose. But they lost. They lost a battle with the Philistines and they lost it because of their king. their king was named Saul, the first king they had, was unfaithful to the Lord. And because he was unfaithful to the Lord, they lost the battle. They couldn't win. And no one wins a battle. Any battle you're facing in your life, you're not going to win it unfaithful to God. I just want to tell you that right now. You're going to lose battle after battle till you come to your senses and believe, I got to have to start trusting God for my life because I'm not winning. First 27 years of my life, I didn't win anything. But after I came to Christ, God opened the windows of heaven, and I would win in every battle that was coming to me after that. No one wins battles unfaithful to the Lord. Saul didn't. And every battle in life, we're going to get through by faith in the Lord. Abraham, listen, I've adopted Abraham as my mentor. Because the Bible says Abraham believed God when he didn't even know where he was going. How many reach places in your life where you don't know where you're going sometimes? Trying to figure out, where am I going? You don't need to know where you're going. You just need to know the one who has your future. See, you need to know the one who has it already marked out for you, and that is the Lord. So I'm doing that. I'm at 72 years old. We're pioneering a new church. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't need to know what's going to happen. I just need to know the one that knows and believe in the one that knows and have faith in the one that knows. But this king, King Saul, not only Israel lost the battle, but he lost his life. He got wounded, and he didn't want the enemy to kill him, so he fell on his own sword so the enemy wouldn't have the joy of killing him. But let me read to you what the real reason for his death was. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. That was the reason. It wasn't because they lost the battle. No, because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He lost his life. He said that he did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Can you imagine turning away from the Lord? The one who made you king, the one who gave you the kingdom, you turn away from him and you go seek advice from a medium. That's a witch. It's like a fortune teller. You're going to turn away from the one true God and go and find advice, try to get advice from a witch. Come on. Saul turned from faith in God and turned to witchcraft. It's like reading your heart. You get in trouble, you want to go and read your horoscope. You ever wonder why they call it horoscope? It's I have Christians say, well, I read it, but I don't believe it. Well, don't read it. You must be reading it for something. Stay away from that stuff. You need God, it's the last place you want to go is to the wisdom of the world. You need to come to God. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What you need to be looking for advice in is right here in God's word. You need guidance. Let me tell you something. There's not a problem in your life that this word doesn't speak to. There's none. I haven't counseled anybody that they had a problem I couldn't take them to the word and give them advice with. In fact, that's the only advice I can give you because I don't know anything. All I know is what God says. And what I say means nothing. What God says means everything. So, We need to trust in the word of God. Now, the men of Issachar understood the signs of the time. They just lost a battle. The king was unfaithful. But the men of Issachar knew and heard that the prophet had anointed, the prophet Samuel had anointed David, the son of Jesse, to be king. So they realized, they said, whoa, we had a king here. He turned away from God. We lost the battle. Now we don't have a king. They understood. David had to be king. So they understood the signs of the time. You see, so the tribe of Issachar knew what needed to be done. We need to understand as a church right now, Jesus has got to be king. We got to look at the times right now. Jesus has to be king. Everything we are, everything we have, has got to be submitted to him. We are living in troubled times. We need a king. And Jesus is his name. And we must understand what God is doing in our church. Listen, I got to figure out what God's doing. We got four campuses. I'm pioneering one, overseeing the other one. I got to find out what God is doing. We got to understand what God is doing. You people here in this church has got to understand what God is trying to do here. And understand what God's trying to do and submit to it. Get in it. Move with it. See, because this church is not here for us just to come in and have a good time. God has a plan and a purpose for this place. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And it is to be in the kingdom of God and contributing to the kingdom of God to accomplish his will for his glory. Not our glory, his glory. For the glory of the king. That God has a plan and we've got to realize it. It's not your plan. It's not the pastor's plan. It's God's plan. And we need to understand that. We're living in stressful times right now. And then it's not getting any better. And we need to understand the signs of the times. And as Christians, what should we be doing? I tell you what we need to do. We need to read the signs of the times. We need to have God's Holy Spirit revealing to us exactly where we are, exactly what we're living in, exactly the time in which we're facing right now. Okay? In Matthew 16, verse 1, it says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. The Pharisees and the Sadducees both came together. You know who they were. They were the religious leaders, but there were two sects. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Their theological outlook was totally opposite. But they came together to test Jesus. It's like the Democrats and the Republicans coming together to try to do something. But this is what they were doing. They wanted to test Jesus because what Jesus was saying was going to affect them. It was going to affect their theology on both sides of the fence. So they came together and said, we got to get this guy out the way because I think he's going to mess all of us up. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. If you're really the Messiah, then show us a sign from heaven. Okay? Now, that wasn't too out of the way because if they knew the Old Testament, they knew that the prophets, they did some things. You see, they did some things in that if he was really the Messiah, then you need to show us something here. I mean, the prophet Elijah called fire down from heaven. Can you do some of that? Can you do that? The prophet Samuel, he made it thunder and rain. Isaiah, He caused for King Ahaz to believe the word that the Lord had him. He had to make the shadow of the sundial go back 10 degrees. Hey, you have any idea what that means? The whole universe had to back up. They were looking for a sign. Moses giving manna from heaven. Moses got food coming, falling down from out of heaven. Can you show us something? I mean, look, Jesus, all he did was heal the sick, made the cripple walk, the blind's eyes were open, the deaf ears were open, he raised the dead and he cast out demons. Wasn't enough. Show us something from heaven. Apparently it wasn't enough for them. Even though those signs he showed them was the very signs that was prophesied about him to prove who he was. They should have known that, but it wasn't enough. Because you see, if they were really seeking the truth, they would have recognized who he was. Just like when we preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, people hear it. Is it that they don't understand it? I remember they asked Billy Graham one time, why some people don't receive the gospel? Why they don't believe it? Is it that they don't understand it? And Billy Graham said, no. The problem is they do understand it. They just don't want it. You see, it's like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you see, they didn't want Jesus. Jesus was going to mess them up. See, they had a thing going. They had their religion going. And what he was putting down wasn't what they had. And because they wasn't really seeking the truth in their hearts, see, if we're really not seeking the truth, we're never going to find it. If we're really not seeking the truth, you're never going to understand where your life is. We have to be truth seekers. We got to believe who Jesus really is. That's why Jesus told them, you know how to interpret the signs of the times, the appearances in the skies, but you can't interpret the signs right now. The Messiah is standing right in front of you, and you don't know who he is. You've heard him preach. You've seen the miracles that he's done. In fact, Jesus gave more signs when he died on the cross of Calvary. Look what Matthew says in chapter 27, verse 50. It says, when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. The tombs broke open. Bodies of many holy people had died, was raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he is the Son of God. The heathen recognized it when the signs, even after his death, what was taking place, the signs, they realized that he was the Son of God. So when they asked Jesus for a sign, he answered them and said, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none's going to be given it except the sign of Jonah. Sign of Jonah, what Jesus was talking about, was the prophet Jonah getting swallowed up in the belly of a great fish for 3 days because he refused to go preach the word to a city of Nineveh. It was as if, you know, it was a type of Jesus' burial and resurrection. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and then he was spurted out, and he performed a ministry which the whole city of Nineveh repented and was saved. It was type of Jesus' burial and resurrection. That was the sign that Jesus said that's the only one they were going to get. For as believers, we don't look for miraculous signs and wonders. to believe. In fact, miracles should be following us. This new work that we're doing, I have a nephew that was part of a prophetic dream that we have. He's the guy that's helping us do this. Well, anyway, he took a bunch of young guys to minister at a drug rehabilitation place. It's a Christian rehabilitation place. And they were going like every Thursday, and my nephew would preach, and he'd minister to the guys in the program. And one Thursday night, they were on their way there, and one of the young men, Antoine, he's a little Cuban guy that's a miracle in himself. God set him out of prison. He had 30 life sentences. God set him free, and now he's on fire. But anyway, on the way there, Antoine says, "We can't leave tonight until we pray for," I forgot the guy's name. It was one of the guys there. "We can't pray for him. We got to pray for him before we leave." Well, when they went there, he wasn't there. So when they finished everything, they prayed for everybody. They asked them where the guy was. They said, "We don't know. We'll go look for him." Well, they found him, and they brought him in, and they sat him down, and they began to pray for him. He falls out on the floor. He OD'd. He was outside shooting up with heroin. Out, flat, no breath, nothing. They called 911. So they're standing over him praying. They're just praying over him. He's not breathing for 15 minutes. He's out. They're waiting for 911 and waiting for the ambulance to get there. Then my nephew goes over him and says, "Jesus is King." He went, "Hump." He did it three times. He started breathing. You hear what I'm telling you? That kind of stuff should follow us. That kind of stuff should follow us. We don't go look for it. It should be following us. We should be stepping out, believing that we want miraculous things to happen. Let's step out. Jesus said they should be following us. Jesus said before he ascended into heaven in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, says, "These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing. It will not hurt them. And if they lay hands on the sick, they will recover." So instead of Christians looking for the signs and the wonders, they should be following us. There was another incident with my nephew. They were in a tent meeting with the same group of people. They had a guy sitting on the end there. He didn't look like he was really into things. And when he started praying, he went down there. He asked there. The guy said, "I'm blind. I can't see." So my nephew said, "Well, why don't we pray?" So my nephew laid hands on him. And you remember what Jesus said? When he prayed for the blind guy, I think he spit in his eyes. And he said, "What do you see?" So my nephew kept telling me, "What do you see?" He says, I'm seeing some people moving out there." So he prayed for him again. Prayed for him again. "Now, what do you see?" The man jumps up. And he goes running to everybody. Come on. Why don't we just do that? Why don't we just believe God? Instead of running to see things happen, let things happen here. We should be following the Lord in the ministry. Let me tell you something, this church right here, there's no great opportunity right here. No great opportunity for you to minister. See, you go to big churches, you know, you go to some 10, 15,000, you don't have a chance. You got a chance right here to minister. That's what I like about the new work we're doing, because, listen, they all know now, there ain't many of us here. Everybody's going to have to find a place. We got to minister. But I want to tell you something. Let us never forget this. There's no greater miracle to see. I mean, I told you a couple of things here. My nephew did. But that's not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is when we bring somebody the gospel and their life changes. It don't get no better than that. Listen, God's done miracles for me, healed me of cancer, did all those things. But it doesn't top the night I knelt down and I asked Christ to come into my life. And when I got off my knees, I was another person. See, nothing going to top that. Nothing going to top that. Whether he healed me of cancer or not, it really didn't matter. I knew I was saved. I was going to heaven. There's nothing greater than that. And we can't ever think that seeing people saved is no big thing. It is a big thing. Every soul is worth the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. There's no greater miracle than that. See, the religious leaders in Jesus' time couldn't interpret the signs of the time in which they were living. And I believe in every generation, the church must interpret where we are. We are in stressful times. The world is looking for an answer, and we have it. We have it. And his name's Jesus. But not only that, not only we need to understand what's going on in the world, we need to understand what's going on in the church world, we need to do that, but we need to recognize special times of visitation. Jesus was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, you don't even know what time it is here. You don't even know. God is visiting you, and you don't even know it. Well, let me tell you something. God is visiting every one of us. We need to be sure that we are understanding these times when God is coming to us personally. Personally. You see, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, Jesus going into Jerusalem. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. It said, if you, even you, had only known at this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. Then they will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they did not recognize him. They refused to believe, and it caused the Lord to weep. He wept. He says, I'm coming to you, and you don't recognize what is really coming to you. And he mentioned what the result of it was going to be. He says, because you didn't recognize the time of God's visitation to you, this is what's going to happen. Your enemy's coming. The enemy was the Roman government. They're going to come in and circle you. They're going to wipe this place out. Because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Now, this happened, history tells us, this happened 70 years later. 70 years later, the Roman government encircled Jerusalem, leveled the whole place, killed everybody. Jesus said that was going to happen because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to us. See, there are special times. I want to tell you, There are special times where God visits us personally, not just in a corporate church service like this, but there are times when God visits us personally. See, now we either can recognize when God's dealing with us, or we can dismiss it and suffer the consequences like the people in Jerusalem did. Because you see, for sinners, when God reveals himself to sinners, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can either receive it or reject it. They could either receive it and get the blessings of God or reject it and get the consequences. But as the Lord wept over Jerusalem, I believe he weeps over every person who hears the gospel and refuses it. Everyone. Everyone. I know he does. Because just the opposite happens. When one person accepts Christ, Jesus said, all of heaven rejoices. So if they rejoice when one sinner repents and accepts it, when one sinner rejects it, when God's Spirit comes on them and they reject it, I think there's some weeping going on. You see, when God comes to us, you know, he ministers to us personally and by the Holy Spirit. And when God reveals things to us like sin, ungodly attitudes, sinful practices, we need to respond. Something really needs to happen. When we're in stressful times in our life, we need to recognize that God is with us. The promise to the believers is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I don't care what you're going through. God has a plan and purpose for you, even due to hard times and the trials. Let us not fail to recognize him in these times, because he is present. Let's call on him. He says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. Then the last thing I want to say that we need to, if we know and understand the times that we're living in right now, we need to redeem these sinful times. What does that mean? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, think about that. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. He said the days are evil. What are they now? What are they now? He said, making the most of every opportunity, the days are evil. The King James Version says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Man, what are they now? If they were evil 2,000 years ago, what are they now? Paul said we got to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Well, what are we going to do? Do what? Make the most of what? How are we going to do it? Well, if we see the times growing more and more wicked, then we must feel more and more a necessity to do the Lord's work. Get yourself involved. Be a witness to somebody. See, if we don't, Jesus warns us that something's going to happen if we don't do it. Let me tell you what he says is going to happen. In Matthew 24:12, he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most is going to grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. See, wickedness in the world, what people don't understand, the world's getting more and more wicked. But if we don't watch out, that wickedness that's out there that you got to work with every day, you got to live with next door to you, and all of that, if we don't watch out, that wickedness will cause our love for God to grow cold. I hate to tell you that, but that's what's happened to the church today. The church is going cold. They're going through the motions. They're going through all that. 10 years ago now, when Katrina hit New Orleans, we all had to disperse. We were vacationing in Orlando, Florida, when we realized we couldn't go back home. There wasn't nothing to go back to. So we stayed a month in Orlando, Florida. We visited. I didn't know Joe Warner at the time, but if I'd have known, I'd have went to his church. But we went to three different churches on Sunday. And I walked out of every one of them. And I told my family. I said, this is a shame. I said, if I was a sinner looking for God, I went to three churches, didn't hear the gospel preached one time. What in the world is the church doing that a sinner can walk in and he doesn't feel convicted? What are they doing? What is the church doing? Man, we got to understand, the church has to understand the time. Listen, I don't care if they come in and they hear the gospel and get mad and run out and curse. That's fine. But when you come in, you're going to hear it. See, it's not, I can't make you accept it, but I got to lay it on the table for you. I got to say, if you're a sinner, you need to be saved. See that cross there? That cross means somebody died for your sins. And you need to repent and come to Christ. It's time. In Romans 13:11, Paul says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. See, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to seize the opportunity to reach those who are lost and dying. It's time for us to wake up. Who? The pastor? I told the pastor in a session yesterday. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds produce shepherds. See, I produce shepherds. I'm a shepherd. I'm going to multiply shepherds. But sheep must multiply sheep. Sheep must produce sheep. That means you need to win people to Christ. You need to have a heart after God that you're going to win your neighbors, your family, your friends, your workers, whoever it is, you're going to be a witness to them that they might get saved. If this church doesn't grow, if my church doesn't grow, this new work, the blame is not on me. Blame is not on them. Blame is on sheep. Sheep have to grow. Sheep have to produce. Sheep have to multiply. You need to win somebody to Christ. You need to be praying for somebody to get saved. You need to be weeping like Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem. We need to be weeping for the lost and the dying that's out there. The men of Issachar knew the signs of the time. We got to make David king. Well, the church, you got to understand, we have a king. His name is Jesus. And he's got to be exalted. He's got to be proclaimed to the world. See, our nation is in stressful time right now. We got a new president. Thank God for him. I pray that God will take this new leadership. I hope they do right. Looks like they're doing it. I hope that they do. But our hope is not in who sits in the Oval Office. Our hope is the one who sits on the throne next to God. That's who our hope is in our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back. Our government is not our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our King. And he's moving right now in the church. God is moving in his church. I want to tell you something. God is visiting his church. We just need to wake up. Jesus said this when he was entering Jerusalem. If you had only known the day when what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes because you're sleeping. No, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to understand God is visiting us. Unbelief will blind us from recognizing God's time and coming to us. Let me tell you something. What I'm doing now, man, I got to have my ears open, my eyes open, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears open, because I don't know where I'm going. But I'm following somebody. we need to follow somebody. You as a believer, you need to be following the Lord. You need to be in, you need to be under this ministry. You need to seek God for this ministry. You need to seek God for what is your place here. You need to seek God that He's going to make you fruitful and multiply and be useful for the. Let me tell you, the greatest thing a believer could ever do is lead somebody to Christ. I did it before I was called into ministry. I said, you know something? If what I have is so valuable, and I thank God every day that I'm saved, if what I have is so valuable, then it's got to be valuable to other people too. If God loves me, He loves them too. They need to have what I have. See, what I have is great. It's the greatest thing that a person could ever have. I got salvation. I got the Spirit of living God living in me. So when I look at other people and they don't know God, man, I got to try to do what I can to give it to them. When I see people struggling, nothing happening. When I see people, their life, just nothing. Do you know people like that? No matter what they do, nothing works for them. Because they don't have God. You need to tell them things can change for you. Things can change for you. And guess what? You are the one that's going to bring God to them. You're going to be the visitation of God to them by just speaking the word. Listen. Unbelief's going to blind us to recognizing God coming to us. And I don't know what everybody in here is facing today. I really don't need to know. All we need to know is the one that does know. And the one who can fix it. And there's someone here right now that can bring peace in whatever you are facing right now. See, Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, if you only knew today, what would bring you peace? If you just, what's going to bring you peace? Knowing somebody can take care of you. Somebody can save you. Somebody can fix your life. That would bring you peace. Somebody who can supply all of your needs, that bring you peace. Somebody who can heal your body, that would bring you peace. Somebody who can deliver your family, that would bring you peace. That person is here right now. Paul says, time for the church to wake up out of its slumber and know what God is doing right here in our midst. We have a God who raises the dead. He's here right now. Won't you stand with me? And if you're like the people down in Louisiana, you've got some issues in your life. Everybody's got issues. You're facing some things right now. But I think the greatest thing you can face, and I have to say this first, I say it all the time. I don't preach the word and preach the gospel without somebody responding. Sometimes they respond, they run out. That's fine. Just respond. One way or the other. Accept it or reject it. If you believe God is visiting you right now, you believe God's here and God can touch that need that's in your life, whatever it may be. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, that's number one. That's the greatest thing you, that's the greatest need you have in your life. If you have not accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior of your life, that's number one. Forget about being healed. Forget about God giving you a job. Forget about all that. Your first and greatest need is to know that Christ is your Savior. And if that's you right now and you don't know that, step out right now. I want to pray with you. Don't leave this place if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't leave here. Don't leave here. Now the rest of you, you're facing a need in your life, step out from where you are. We're going to pray that the God that raises the dead is going to touch you and meet that need that's in your life right now. Maybe you need God to refire you Maybe you need God to just to increase your faith, whatever it is. Step out from where you are. Step out from where you are right now.